One of our more worrisome features of this election is that of our last three presidents, two will have moved into the White House without having won the majority of the popular vote. And given today's partisan political climate, we could soon find ourselves even more polarized by the fact that a president who won only a minority of the popular vote will again be ushered into office by the Electoral College. The Electoral College was designed in 1787 when arguments flared among our founding fathers, with some advocating for direct election of the president. Others felt that Americans spread over a vast continent lacked the information and intelligence to properly choose among candidates. The winning argument was ultimately advanced by Virginia founding father James Madison. He said that the South would face a disadvantage with direct elections, since more than 550,000 of its residents were non-voting slaves. Madison argued successfully that slaves should still be factored into political representation. So the electoral system was a response to slave-holding states, who then earned more electoral votes and more representatives in Congress by counting in their populations each non-voting slave as 3/5 of a person. The Southern white voters' influence grew thanks to the region's slaves, whose servitude in great numbers enhanced the political power of their masters. In the election of 1800, Pennsylvania had 10% more free men than Virginia. But Virginia had many more slaves and received 20% more electoral votes. In fact, Virginia had more than 25% of the electoral votes needed to win the presidency. No surprise, then, that Virginian Thomas Jefferson, who owned more than 100 slaves, defeated John Adams, who opposed slavery. Indeed, for 32 of this nation's first 36 years, a white slaveholding Virginian, including James Madison, held the presidency. A perverse logic settled in. If a slave state were to free its slaves, they could move north, meaning the state would lose electoral votes and congressional clout. The North mostly gave in to the South on these skewed issues of representation. And after the Civil War, when slaves were freed, some historians argue that the Electoral College system gave states the autonomy to restrict voting rights. Maybe it's time to revisit the Electoral College's basis in slave-era politics and do what many other nations already practice, the direct election of our leaders.